Well, good morning, Sanctuary Columbus Church and our wonderful guests. Here we are sharing another week of our Psalms of Summer series, and what a blessing it is to be with you again. Now, during this series, we've been lingering in one of the most familiar books of the Bible, the Psalms. And in that book, we find a kind of time capsule, if you will, a collection of poems, praises, and prayers spanning hundreds of years, beginning thousands of years ago, written down by a combination of various priests and by the King David from the Old Testament, and capturing some of the earliest human reactions to the words and the acts of God. The Psalms are ancient and yet timeless, because here we have them preserved in our hands, in our Bibles, in our Bible apps, on t-shirts and on posters. These are old relics that continue to tell a familiar story about a God who has always interacted with humanity in consistent ways. Now, one of the most famous time capsules other than the Book of Psalms was the Westinghouse time capsule buried in Queens, New York in 1938. It's this 7-foot metal tube filled with items that the people of the 1930s thought were important to keep for future generations. It's not scheduled to be pulled out of the ground until the year 6939, almost 5,000 years from now. And the people who buried that time capsule in the ground were surely convinced that folks who dug it up 5,000 years in the future were going to want to see what was inside. Now, as I spent some time learning about this time capsule, I found myself wondering, what would I seal inside of a famous tube like the Westinghouse time capsule? In my mind, it couldn't be something that only had meaning to me. It would have to be something meaningful and moving for nearly everyone, something that could be easily understood by anyone holding it in their hands. Pictures. It seems like pictures would be the perfect object to put in a time capsule. Now, of the 100 items packed into the Westinghouse time capsule in Queens, New York, was a microfilm containing 1,000 pictures chronicling the human history leading up to 1938. Now, we don't know yet what those pictures looked like because it's not yet 6,939. But just imagine with me for a moment the decision-making process that would go into figuring out which pictures to include. Which pictures would you include? Maybe pictures of your family and close friends, pictures of you doing something you love, like driving your favorite car, knitting with your favorite needles, or playing your favorite instrument. If you were to ask yourself, what snapshots or images would I want people thousands of years into the future to remember from my time, would you include pictures of maybe historical moments, events from history that we never want to forget, or events from histories we never want to return back to? I imagine that the Book of Psalms was God's answer to this very question. When deciding what images or snapshots of themselves that they wanted people thousands of years into the future to remember about God, God chose images in the Psalms to put in this little time capsule that we now hold in our hands, in our Bibles, in our Bible apps. Now, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like many of us aren't already familiar with our psalm for today, Psalm 23. It's one of the most famous psalms known as the Shepherd's Psalm. And I wouldn't be surprised if many of us can just recite from the top of our heads that famous first line as soon as we begin to hear it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And so I begin today committing to you, not that I'll reveal something brand new from Psalm 23 that you've never heard before, but that I will hopefully remind you of something familiar and essential, an essential image that Psalm 23 offers to us. And the main idea behind what I offer today is this. Psalm 23 offers us a perfect picture of caring for others, a picture for us to trust, to model, and to affirm. I called this sermon for today, Picture Perfect Care. Picture Perfect Care. Now, do you mind if I get a little sentimental to start us off today? What you're looking at right now is one of my favorite pictures from my wedding. And for those of you who don't know, I have been happily married to our church's worship and creative director, Malcolm Morgan, for 9 years now. And so 9 years ago on September 1st, I was preparing to marry Malcolm, and my grandmother, pictured on your left, and my mother, pictured on your right, shuffled into the room with me on the second floor of the church. I remember this moment in the picture because it was quiet, and both of them moved toward me with proud tears in their eyes, almost as if with one mind, the both of them, reaching for my wedding dress and my veil, shifting things, moving things to make sure it all looked perfect. Now you'll notice in the picture that I'm a bit out of focus, and that's especially why I love it so much, because what's in focus are the two women who raised me, tending to me with focus and care. This picture captures so much about what my grandmother and my mother did for me and how they loved me growing up. Both committed, both reaching for me without fail, no matter what I did or didn't do, their constant reaching for me grounded me and made me feel at peace in the world. The one thing I've always known to be true is that my grandmother and my mother's constant commitment to pursuing me and making sure that I'm all right will always be there. This is my perfect picture of care. This is what I would put into my personal time capsule if I had one. So what about you? Can you imagine for a moment what snapshots of care that you would put into your personal capsule? Would it be maybe of a friend quietly adjusting your cap and gown before you walk down to get your diplomas? Would it be of you getting into bed with your son in the middle of the night to console him shortly after he had a nightmare? Would it be of you standing on the sidelines, cheering loudly and slightly obnoxiously as your sibling, your brother or sister, play their favorite sport? Would it be of one of your favorite teachers walking to your desk in class to check on you because you seem a little bit more quiet than you usually are? Would it be of a supervisor or boss publicly taking the fall for a mistake that you made at work? Would it be of you calling a friend to hang out even though you've been waiting 5 or 6 days for a response to your text message? We cherish these moments, these examples of proud moments where we are showing each other what makes us so beautiful, this capacity to care for and tend to one another, of participating in the well-being of one another. And if these are the snapshots that we're so proud of, imagine just how much more eager the God who calls themselves the very essence of love would be to share similar snapshots of themselves. If God were to ask themselves, what pictures would I want people thousands of years into the future to remember of me? What images of me would I want people to look at over and over and over again for thousands and thousands of years? I think it would undoubtedly be a snapshot of their perfect care. A God of love wants to leave with us a picture of their perfect care for us. So what exactly do we see in this picture of perfect care in Psalm 23? What exactly is God doing that shows us how they care for us? Well, this psalm is jam-packed full of symbol and metaphor, and we would need much longer than 20 minutes to process them all. So I just want to invite you to take a look at this psalm later on today. Maybe spend 10 minutes or so rereading it over and over again and answer the following question for yourself. What does this line of the psalm tell me about how God cares for me? I think that'll bless you if you do that after today's sermon. But here are two answers that I want to offer for us today. Let's begin with verse 4. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. This is probably my favorite part of God's picture of their care for us because it tells a complicated truth about how our world works and how God interacts with us. This verse begins with a reminder that we will, in fact, walk in dark valleys. As Pastor Nick Nye reminded us last week in his sermon on Psalm 42, the reality of dark and difficult times in our lives are just that, a reality. And they do not define us as less or more Christian than anyone else. However, they are an opportunity to get closer to God. I will fear no evil because you are with me, the psalmist says. When we're swept up in the dark and difficult times of our lives, the Psalm 23 encourages us to remember God's closeness with us. God cares for us by staying close to us in dark and difficult times. But here's a second way that God cares for us, and it's illustrated by two objects that are so unfamiliar to us because we're so far removed from when this psalm was written down that we might just miss it if we don't do a little bit more digging. The psalmist says two objects bring them comfort when they're in the dark and difficult times of their lives: God's rod and God's staff. The rod was this short, thick piece of wood that the shepherd would use to protect the sheep against animals that tried to eat them. And the staff was a longer and thinner piece of wood, often with a little bend on the end, that the shepherd would use to gently guide the sheep away from a cliff or toward healthier parts of the grass to graze on. The psalmist is essentially saying that God cares for us by protecting and guiding us. And often that's through the wisdom God gives us through scripture, through Jesus's example in the New Testament, through worship song lyrics, and through the words of caution that we hear from friends and family. God's wisdom tells us how to live and love in ways that honor God, that honor ourselves, and honor others. God's wisdom is God's staff, guiding us away from decisions that harm ourselves or any part of God's creation, including other people. God's wisdom is also protective. It's God's rod guarding us against the damage done when we make harmful decisions. But we can't ignore the subtle ways that God intervenes in our lives beyond just our obedience to God's wisdom. Whether it's by bringing to someone else's memory in the middle of the night something that inspires them to advocate on our behalf or to offer something to us that we didn't earn but definitely could use. Whether it's a grade that they end up rounding up a couple of points on one of our exams or putting in a good word for us for a job that we've wanted for a long time. Or maybe it's God inspiring them to call us and apologize for something that we haven't gotten closure on for the last couple of years. God is constantly intervening in our lives through inspiration and other miraculous ways that we don't even understand and don't notice until we're somewhere in the future looking back with gratitude on what God has done. I praise God for their rod and their staff, their protection and their guidance in the dark and difficult times and in all times. God's picture-perfect care is God caring for us by staying close to us and by protecting and guiding us. So we've opened this time capsule today, and in it we've found Psalm 23, a snapshot of God's picture-perfect care. But what do we do with this snapshot? Do we just pick it up and we look at it and then we put it down until who knows when? Well, no, of course not. Because something that God intentionally preserved for thousands of years is meant to move us to action. So I'd like to end today with three practical invitations that I believe the Psalm 23 offers us: to trust the shepherd's care in our spiritual lives, to model the shepherd's care in our relationships, and to affirm the shepherd's care in our leadership. Now, this first invitation, to trust the shepherd's care in our spiritual lives, this is an invitation to open scripture and believe not only that we will find something true about how to honor God, ourselves, and others, but that we will also find something good and worth knowing about. Trusting the shepherd's care in our spiritual lives means craving the ways that God cares for us, seeking them out, taking intentional time to reflect on and be grateful for the way that God cares for us. But it also means responding to God's care. If we trust God's closeness during our dark and difficult times, then we are going to say yes to it and welcome it. If we trust God's protection and guidance, then we will say yes to that and welcome it. Our first invitation concerning what to do with this snapshot in Psalm 23 is to trust the shepherd's care for our lives. The second, to model the shepherd's care in our relationships. Scripture tells us quite clearly that we are to model ourselves after the character of God. This is one of the main reasons, other than, of course, solving the problem of sin, that Jesus came to live with us here on earth. God's entire essence was embodied in the person of Jesus. God walked and talked among us so that we may see and imitate their ways. And so here we have this perfect picture of God's care for us in Psalm 23 in the palm of our hands. And I can hear God repeating to us what the writer in Ephesians 5:1 said. Be imitators of me as beloved children imitate their parents. Be imitators of me, God says, and remain close to your friends and family when they struggle in dark and difficult times. Don't stop calling. Don't stop texting. Don't stop stopping by. Be imitators of me, God said, and protect others from harm. Refuse to talk about them negatively when they're not in the room. Respectfully warn them if you see something bad coming their way in their careers or in their relationships. Be imitators of me, God says, and guide others toward goodness and flourishing. Encourage your friends to make good choices, even if doing so gets you made fun of in school. With this perfect picture of God's care in our hands, we are invited to imitate God's care for us in the way that we care for others. And finally, here is our final invitation for today. We are invited to affirm the shepherd's care in our leadership. Now, this invitation invites us to ask ourselves, what kind of leadership do I affirm in my life? Do I brag about the people at work who look like the shepherd in Psalm 23? Do I brag about how people imitate God and care for others? Or do I solely brag about the people who make money for the company? Does the person I'm planning to vote for in the election, do they protect the vulnerable like the shepherd does, even if it costs them more resources than originally planned? Does the person I'm planning to hire guide people towards goodness and flourishing? Or are they only focused on how well-liked they are? Do they remain close to people who are going through dark and difficult times? Or do I notice that they get a little distant and annoyed with those people? If we truly believe the picture of care that God offers us in Psalm 23, then we will affirm that image in the people who lead us. We will affirm the shepherd in our leadership. We will model the shepherd in our relationships, and we will trust the shepherd in our spiritual lives. May I pray for us? Lord, I am just so grateful that you thought so highly of us that you would intentionally preserve this beautiful picture of your care in Psalm 23. You knew all this time that we would need to reread and reread, to look at long and longingly at this beautiful, perfect picture of care, that we would need it in order to model it, in order to trust it, and to affirm it in others. So God, I thank you for your foresight for us and for your love for us, that you would tell us the truth about what good care looks like. So God, I pray that you would empower us, Lord, to trust, to model, and to affirm this beautiful picture, that we would look more like Christ. In your Son's precious and holy name, I pray. Amen. So family, I want to invite you into a few reflections as you leave today. And you're welcome to do this at your own leisure, anytime during the week. I hope it blesses you. But I invite you to ask yourself three questions. What, if anything, did God bring back to your memory or teach you during this devotional time? In what ways has God's intervention or wisdom protected you recently? And finally, think of one person who is having a dark or difficult time. What is one way that you can remain close to them during this time? I pray blessing over you. We'll see you next time.